Hi everybody, welcome to What the First. It's good to have you here with us. It's Halloween 2023. Hopefully if you are a parent with young children going out this evening, your kids are safe. You guys have a great time. The weather's pretty good. And the whatever accompanying drink you're bringing within you in your Yeti cup so no one can tell it's booze is delicious. I'm Ryan Ballingy. Thanks for being here. We're going to talk a little bit about the TGL concept today because they have some news from that front. And then we'll get into another story. But TGL is out there making news, making announcements. They did some kind of covert announcement yesterday when they shared that the Boston franchise, which is owned by the Fenway Sports Group, they created their name, which is Boston Common Golf. So named after the park in Boston. And their logo is a frog with a golf ball for a chest. Actually, it doesn't sound that cool when you describe it that way, but it is. I enjoyed it. I think it's a pretty cool logo. I would wear it on a hat or a shirt, and I'm not from Boston and will not even attempt a Boston accent because it would be embarrassing for all of us. But they're calling it the ball frog because there's a frog pond in Boston Common, so they wanted to draw it back to that. Someone from the area saw my tweet about it and was like, well, why did they name it that? Like, that's kind of weird. And I think the reason for the name is kind of the same messaging as from the Atlanta team, which we'll talk about in a second, called Drive, which is a worse name because Atlanta traffic is terrible, so drawing attention to that's not a great idea. But the idea behind TGL's messaging is that these teams are for everybody. Everyone can be a part. We want you to be a part. We want you to embrace this, and we want to embrace you, and that's kind of the idea. So I think the idea of common to everybody, not like commoner, but common everyone for all, that was the idea here. And I haven't seen names for all of the teams yet. Atlanta Drive, there's the Boston Common, I think it's LA Golf Club or something like that. Like that's not like a different, strange sounding name. And then they haven't announced the fifth franchise yet. And there's supposed to be six teams. And there are four players on each team. So in kind of the next piece of news, they have announced what the format's going to be for these events. So they're going to have these events start on January 9th on ESPN and ESPN2. And what they're going to do is have these events each and every week. And there'll be three players out of the four on each team that play. So the first signee to a team announced today was Justin Thomas to the Atlanta team. You would assume Keegan Bradley goes to the Boston team. You would assume Max Homa and Colin Morikawa go to the LA team. I assume there's going to be some kind of like Florida-y team that is going to be part of this. The Tiger would be on, but we'll get all that sorted out. And what they will do is have multiple matches. So they're going to be two weekly sessions, and the first nine-hole match will be a three-on-three team alternate shot format. So there'll be one match, and then of that, which I think is kind of interesting, like three people alternating shots. So you're not hitting many shots, really. I think that's kind of interesting. One third of the shots. If you played alternate shot in like the Ryder Cup, a good round would be 68. And that's unfortunately not easy to divide by three. So let's call it 69 just for the sake of easy division here. But if you did that, then it'd be 23 shots per golfer in that round of alternate shot. So not a lot of shots to hit for each player. And then the second session will be a six-hole match head-to-head with each player playing two holes during the session. So it'll be kind of very, very quick tag-in, tag-out. What I don't know is if you'll have each player, like the first player, A player plays holes one and two, or do they play holes one and three, one and four, one and whatever. How will that work? Will it be ABC, ABC, AA, BB, CC? You know, you get my questions. Or it could just be total chaos. I have no idea. But those will be one-on-one matches. And then what will happen if those matches wind up going split, there will be overtime to break ties, with it being described similar to a penalty shootout in soccer. And I don't know exactly how that's going to work, but regular season points mean 2 points for a win when you win the whole thing. An overtime win gets you 2 points for your team. An overtime loss gets 1 point if you lose in regulation. So if you lose both matches, then you get 0 points. The top four teams at the end of the regular season get to the playoffs, which will be single elimination, meaning there will be a semifinal and then a best of three championship series, I guess. So then you'd have three kind of different playoff weeks, I guess is how it would work. Each of the matches will be played at Palm Beach Gardens on the college campus facility that they built. It's called SoFi Center. It's about 250,000 square feet. It looks like it's a tennis bubble, kind of. The guy who co-founded Reddit, Alexis, I forget his last name, but the guy who's married to Serena Williams, he drove by it the other day, put a picture of it on X or Twitter, and it looks like a, you know, from the outside, tennis bubble. I don't know that it's going to look exactly like that or how it will look at the end, but the tee shots and approach shots of more than 50 yards will be played in a 64 by 46 foot simulator, which is, if you've ever been in a simulator, enormous compared to a regular simulator. Absolutely huge. And then each shot will be played from real grass, tee boxes, fairways, rough, and sand. So they'll have it set up probably with different stations, is my guess. And you'll just hit from, you know, the turf that they have set up. Obviously, you're going to need enough turf for basically two rounds of golf. And they'll have rough as well. So they'll probably drop a ball in it. I don't know how that'll exactly work, but there'll probably be some dropping of the golf balls. And then you'll have sand. You'll just kind of rake that as the fairway bunkers. And then you'll be able to hit to different portions of the big simulator space to do that. That's what my assumption is. And then any shot within 50 yards of the target of the green will be played in what's called a green zone, which is about the length of four basketball courts, which is about 360 some odd feet, 370 feet, and will feature what is called the largest ever adaptable putting surface, Full Swing Golf, which builds the simulators, has been aligned with Tiger Woods. It's being built by them and will kind of change shape basically for each putt, for each hole. So as they play the hole, they'll do it with robotics and pneumatics, and they'll change and then set up the green for that hole, and then the next hole they'll change it again, which should be pretty cool. They expect it will be like 2,000 people, 2,500 people that can attend these things. I'm interested in what kind of audience that's going to look like, because it kind of reminds me, and I'm going to out myself as a professional wrestling fan here, but WWE has this brand or whatever they call NXT, which means next. I don't know why they didn't call it next. But anyway, NXT is taped at, or it used to be taped at, what's called Full Sail University in Orlando. And then in the pandemic, or just before the pandemic, they moved to their performance center, which is in Orlando. So they call it the Capitol Wrestling Center, but it's really just, it's Orlando. Anyway, so they have the event there, or the events there, and they have people come to those each and every week. So most of the people that come, I assume, are locals. They're not, you know, people are traveling 1,000 miles or whatever to come see this event. So is that going to be the case for TGL? They're going to have kind of like the same 1,500 people who come every time, and then some people come in out of town just out of curiosity, or people who are in town for some other reason. I don't know. I'm very curious about that. But that's at least the setup. That's the format. I'm sure the next set of announcements will be more about players joining teams. However, they've only announced 5 of the 6 teams in terms of their location and the investment groups behind them. So there's a sixth team that needs to be announced. Right now they have Atlanta, Boston, LA, New York, and San Francisco. I don't know who would be the fifth. I mean, those are all pretty darn good golf cities. Be curious if they did something in like London, which now that I think about it, makes a lot of sense. Because you've got some European tour guys who are competing in this. Tommy Fleetwood, Tyrrell Hatton, Shane Lowry. So maybe you have a London golf club. I would be kind of surprised if that happened, but also not shocked at all. Maybe there's a Florida version of it, as I've mentioned before. I don't know, but we'll see. I'm also curious what might happen in future years if they decide to build more of these. Will they build multiple venues, or will they always stay in this one? Or maybe they'll see how it goes for a few years. I don't know. I am curious about that. But at least that's the news around TGL, where it's going, what the format is, what you can kind of tell the next set of announcements are going to be, and we'll learn more as it goes. We'll be back right after this, after a word from our sponsor. If you're like me, you've wanted to buy gold for years. Lots of commercials out there, but who can you really trust? I don't want a bad investment, but didn't want to miss the boat either. Sound familiar? Fortunately, I've got great news. If you have an IRA or 401k and want to buy physical gold, eliminate fear and uncertainty from the process using the new Gold IRA Company Integrity Checklist. It helps you evaluate and choose the best gold IRA company. I used it personally to vet Augusta Precious Metals, and they are absolutely phenomenal. Use this checklist to choose the best gold IRA company. Text to get your free Gold IRA Company Integrity Checklist today. Text GOLF to 68592. Again, text GOLF to 68592. That's GOLF to 68592. Or go to AugustaPreciousMetals.com. All right, welcome back to the show. Great to have you here today. Second story won't take too much of your time. This will be a shorter edition of the show. I actually have to get to my kids' school Halloween costume parade this afternoon, so kind of got to tighten things up on the schedule today so I can go see them. My daughter is actually dressed as Taylor Swift, and my son is a turtle. Not sure how he arrived at the turtle costume, but it's pretty cool, and they look good. So hopefully it'll be fun for them. Anyhow, second story we're going to talk about today. I really didn't have anything in mind, to be honest with you. I had the TGL stuff in pockets. Like, all right, great. Now we've got something to talk about. But I was actually talking to a friend in the golf industry earlier today, and this conversation came up. So I'm going to have it with myself, with you. And that is around the rankings or ratings for the events of the PGA Tour fall. And they have not been good. They have been very bad. And if you look at the ratings, I'll give you a couple of reference points. But in general, what happened last year, last fall, the PGA Tour kind of made its announcements about the fall would be changing and the relevance of the fall would be changing. They also talked about the creation of these. First, they were elevated, then they were designated, and now they're signature events. And what that would kind of mean for the schedule moving forward. And I think that immediately put a lot of golf fans off to the idea of watching any fall golf. No need to watch the fall if it doesn't really matter anymore, at least in the grand scheme of the FedEx Cup and, you know, no events where really top players are playing. The Zozo had a nice field, but no one watches golf overnight live. So that was going to be a dud regardless. And outside the Fortinet Championship, where Justin Thomas was playing and gave it a good run, and Sahith Theegala won, which I think he's a fairly popular player in golf circles. Maybe not to the general public, but at least in golf circles. So people watch that. So the ratings were up last year for the Fortinet Championship because it looked like Danny Willett was going to win, and Danny Willett's not really a draw, and then all of a sudden Max Homa wins. But Sahith Theegala and Justin Thomas were a part of it from beginning to end. It was something for people to watch. I think people were interested. Then each subsequent event after has been an absolute disaster ratings-wise. Sanderson Farms down 30 to 35%, I think it was, maybe even 40% over last year, which was down 30%. Then you've got the ranking or the rating for the Shriners Children Open, where Tom Kim repeated. The rating on Sunday was about 50% what it was last year when you had Tom Kim versus Patrick Cantlay, and you had a better field of players, even without some of the LIV guys who used to patronize this event when it was still part of the fall. So that was a disaster. The numbers on PGA Tour Live for Lexi Thompson were good. They were up like 20%. So people wanted to watch Lexi, and that was cool. But once she missed the cut, any interest in that event went bye-bye. Then the Zozo was bad because it's in Japan in the middle of the night and no huge name was playing. No offense to Colin Morikawa or Xander Schauffele or any of the 16 top 50 players that were part of it. There just wasn't a huge draw, and it never really is. So less than 70,000 people watched that final round live on Golf Channel. That's even worse than last year. So not good. And so this week, we've got the Worldwide Technology Championship. We've got five, maybe six top 50 players in the field this week. Cam Young, Sahith Theegala. Maybe you want to watch Michael Block. He's playing this week. You probably don't. But he is playing this week. So you've got, you know, five, six players, top 50 players competing this week. And it's the fifth of seven fall events. Then they're going to have one more break. They'll have the Bermuda event and they'll have the RSM Classic, and that'll end the fall. So I find it difficult to believe that all of a sudden people are going to go and watch this event after they've abandoned the fall entirely. But the ratings tell a very clear story, and the entire year's ratings tell a very clear story about the PGA Tour and people's interest in it right now. We talk about LIV's ratings being bad, and they are horrible. They are really bad for a golf product that has spent billions of dollars to acquire players, that has a network TV deal, albeit with the CW. It is in 120 million homes. It's in basically every home in the country. And less than 160,000 people watch their final event, their supposed biggest event. It lost to gymnastics on E by like 20,000 viewers. And yet still the ratings for the Zozo were also awful. And if you look back at the ratings for the year, CBS said they were up 3% year over year in terms of Nielsen ratings. The reason they were up 3% is because for the first time, they had all the playoffs. So they had good crowds for those events. And one of those events did well, at least at the end in primetime, because a lot of 60 Minutes viewers tuned in waiting to watch the clock tick and Scott Pelley, and instead they had to watch golf finish up because they didn't know it was in a rain delay. So they had an inflated audience for that. They had some other weather issues. But, you know, they had the three playoff events that do generate decent audiences, so that brought them up into the positive for the year. But if you look at the events where, and they bear the brunt of this because they are the most PGA Tour events, they air a bunch of regular events, and they got slaughtered in terms of how many people watched. Event after event that some people might watch out of curiosity, but now that it's not an elevated, designated, or signature event, it just gets swatted down. The golf fans are like, nope, I'm good. And I don't know if it's just because of that, or if it's something a little bit different. Is it that plus the money thing? Is it that plus the Saudis? Is it that everything's fractured? I think it's probably a lot of things. There's probably a lot of different reasons out there why people are watching less golf, but generally speaking, people are watching less golf. And as someone who works in the golf media business, obviously I'm in a better position when I talk about professional golf when more people are interested in the product. And if you're less interested in the product, then there's less of you to talk to, or with, or write to, or, you know, those types of things. So what has happened has not only been a calamity for people in my end of the business, and I have seen data that this extends well beyond just me. I mean, this goes to a lot of golf media sites. And oh, by the way, everyone's just waiting for a recession in the golf media world, in the media world, to fire people. They're already doing it. They're just waiting for a better reason to fire people. Obviously, I'm one-man band. Can't fire myself yet. But if there's less interest in the game, we're about to enter one of those kind of winters in terms of a bear market for golf. Not in terms of participation. The participation, I think, is still as good as ever. I mean, the COVID participation numbers may have come down a little bit to the present day just because some more people are returning to the office more frequently. But generally speaking, golf is in a great place in a participatory sense. The next question is, what has to be done to get people interested in coming back to watch the professional product? And I don't have the answer for that, short of the next Tiger. And I don't know when that person's coming. We've been waiting for it for the better part of 10 years. And Brooks Koepka's interesting. Rory McIlroy's interesting. John Rahm's interesting. Scottie Scheffler's interesting. Those are probably the four biggest names that we've got right now that are consistently winning and or winning major championships. And that none of them together can get close to Tiger, because they're all great players, but none of them are dominant. And golf at every level needs a dominant player to draw attention. So I don't know where we go from here, and I'm not trying to make a specific point, but I did want to point out, because I do have these conversations with people who listen to the show, that golf interest on TV is substantially down. And if you want to tell me why you may or may not be watching as much golf, I'd love to hear from you. I'm interested in your answers. Ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com. You can shoot me a note on Twitter, X, Threads, or Instagram at Ryan Ballingy. Shoot me a DM on X. I have them open. Happy to talk to you there as well. But it's a strange time, and I'm not really sure where we go next. And for a lot of people in my line of work, that's a scary thought. So we'll see what happens from here, but at least wanted to give you an update on the fall. All right, that's going to do it for us today. We'll be back tomorrow with another show. I appreciate you spending some time with me today. If you're listening to this while you're taking your kids trick-or-treating, make sure to not believe any of the myths about the candy inspections. No one puts razor blades in candy. That never happened. No one's ever going to do it. But make sure your kids stay safe. Have a great time. Make it a good experience for them. And hopefully they come in with an awesome bag or bucket of candy you'll spend months trying to get rid of. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Thanks so much for listening. Catch you next time on Two Off the First.